Good evening.
Good evening.
I don't know if I've told this class lately that I'm happy. I'm very happy. And I've been able to stay happy for the longest time because it's a decision to be happy. So I get up every day and make up my mind I'm going to be happy. But I'm completely happy with myself. I'm happy with this class. And I'm happy with each and every one of you. So think of that when you're getting up in the morning. Make up your mind to be happy. And you will remain happy. And find reasons to be happy. And continue to be happy. We're here for such a short period of time on this plane of action. So we might as well be happy while we're here. And happiness, like anything else in our life, is a choice. And we choose to be happy or not to be happy. Because nothing on the outside of life is causing that. Everything that is happening to us is happening because of our thinking. And it's always going to be because of our thinking. I went on Sunday to the Bodhi tree. And, once again, I purchased the mental equivalent. I'd given my last one away that was completely underlined. And I'm always giving them away. So I started over. So let's see what I underlined so far. Our search for God and the understanding of God's nature. That is what Emmett Fox maintains that everyone is looking for, that everyone is seeking, a search for God and the understanding of God's nature. And that's certainly what this class is about. That's certainly what this whole thing called metaphysics or religious science is about. Figuring out the nature of God. That God is good. That God isn't that mean God that some people think. That God is totally good, and that all God ever wants for you is good and greater good. We practice the presence of God by seeing God everywhere, in all things, in all people, despite the appearance to the contrary. And there's where we always fall into trouble, because we start to judge by appearances. There's John. Go ahead. We won't wait, but go ahead.
Thank you.
We're always judging by appearances. But we have to look and see God in everything. God in everything. Somebody once told me a story about of a master who was a Buddhist, and he was able to see God in bird doo-doo. When he looked down and saw bird doo-doo, he saw God. And that's what we have to do. We have to see God in everything. Because that's all there is. That is all there is God. As soon as we see this truth and see it spiritually, the appearance changes. Because this is a mental world. Do you remember that? And that's the good news tonight. This is a mental world that we live in. And we so often forget that because of race mind and because of the appearances. Because we look around right now and we see chairs and rugs and walls and lamps and everything. And we say to ourselves, oh, it's a material world. And it is never a material world. It is a mental world that we live in. And our world is caused by our thinking. And we know and we accept the idea of race mind, do we not? Or the collective consciousness that people talk about. And that is all the thoughts that are going on in the human race. And we call that race mind. And we say, oh, I believe that because all these people are thinking that therefore it is causing this to happen or that to happen. But do we think individually that when we think, we're causing something? We're causing something when we think. So we have to learn to think correctly. And we have to learn to think correctly about ourselves. We have to see ourselves in a whole new and different way. In a way that we know that we are completely connected to everything in the universe. And that every thought that we think influences something. That it has the power to influence something. Because this universe is so sensitive and is so interconnected that nothing is missed. That nothing is missed. There's a saying, when the grass is cut, the whole universe shudders. When the grass is cut. Because grass happens to be life. And the universe shudders because of that. How many people remember the idea of when the butterfly flaps its wings in one part of the world, a hurricane starts in another part of the world? We are absolutely interconnected. And we're absolutely interconnected with everything and with every person. And we have to remember that. And we have to know how powerful our thinking is. And not give ourselves the luxury of a negative thought. We can't afford that anymore in our life. That's a luxury we cannot afford. So we are learning to come up with a mental equivalent. With a mental equivalent about ourselves. Who we are. So that we know what? That we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. These are the things that we have to instill in our thinking. So remember, it's a mental world you live in. Every problem that you are having because of your thinking. That it is a mental world. You see. Last week, we had a discussion about real estate. And because the internet now is selling real estate cheaper and undercutting the commission from 6% to, I don't know what, maybe 1% or something. So realtors are getting upset about that. But there's nothing to get upset about if you realize that you live in a mental world. You just change your thinking about that. And your reality changes. The universe that you're living in changes. Now their universe will change. But that has nothing to do with you whatsoever. It's always going to boil down to what are you thinking? Who cares what other people are thinking? Who cares what race mind is thinking? Who cares about all the news that you hear? You don't have to care about those things. What you have to care about is what you are thinking. What are you thinking about yourself right here and right now? Can you focus your mind on you? And can you say to yourself, I'm a wonderful person. I'm a happy person. I'm a deserving person. Totally lovable, worthy, and that I matter. These are the things that we have to learn because it's truly a mental world. So any difficulty that you are having, that difficulty will stop
when you change your thinking. When you change your thinking. Very easy and very simple concept. But for some reason, it becomes difficult for people. They either don't want to believe it outright, because then they would have to change, wouldn't they? I think on Wednesday night, when they're doing the secret here, the whole idea is you must have a willingness to change. You must have a willingness to change. As soon as you say to yourself, I have a willingness to change, you can start to change. The other thing, to have this small shift in consciousness, is to say to yourself, is it reasonable? Is this reasonable? And as soon as you're able to say that it's reasonable, you have a shift in consciousness. Is it reasonable for me to make X amount of money? Is that reasonable? Yeah, that's reasonable. Then it's a done deal. As soon as you can make your mind know that it's reasonable and accept that, it changes for you. It changes for you. So when you're doing your mental work, when you're doing your affirmations, when you are doing your treatments, always make sure that what you are saying is reasonable. That it's reasonable. And it will work for you every time. But it has to be reasonable. You say, is it reasonable that $1 million is going to drop out of the ceiling? It's not reasonable. That's not reasonable. Is it reasonable that within a year I could make $1 million? Yes, that's reasonable. And your mind will accept that. And then it goes to work on that. Your mind is a very powerful thing. And it will go to work on that for you. But make sure that you can say to yourself, this is reasonable. And it gets rid of all that doubt and all that other stuff that you have to do. You just have to make something reasonable. Is it reasonable for you to sell 3 properties a week?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then you can do that, you see. As long as it's reasonable. 30. Could you sell 30? Well, now, you know, would that be reasonable for you right now?
No.
No. So then you don't do a treatment or an affirmation right. To do that. You have to be reasonable. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that doesn't grow. And it grows and it grows. You see, because once you sell 3 homes a week, now it's reasonable to sell 4 homes a week. Then it's reasonable to sell 5 homes a week. But what bogs people down and why they leave this type of a teaching is they want something that at the present moment is unreasonable for their consciousness to accept. It's unreasonable. You have to make it reasonable. Okay? You have to do that. I read this wonderful affirmation, and I'm using it now. And I'm going to give it to you. And it's this. Thank you for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever. Thank you for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever. Use that till that really filters down and you realize what that means. What that means. So, if you get up in the morning and you make an affirmation, just another day in paradise just another day in paradise. And then you complain. That just negated another day in paradise. Because if you're in paradise, there's no way that you can complain. There's no way that you can complain. So use that. Thank you for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever. And it will sink down into your consciousness. And you'll have a wonderful aha experience. And you'll know what that really means. And it's a freeing, absolutely freeing way to live when you can no longer complain. When you no longer complain. I don't know if anyone knows, if anyone knows, everyone knows Elizabeth Taylor. And everyone likes Elizabeth Taylor. Very few people have ever said anything wrong about Elizabeth Taylor. And why is that? Because Elizabeth, no swimming pool, anything wrong about anybody. You know, Elizabeth Taylor lives by two things. She never explains and she never complains. You will never hear her explain why her husband's, why her marriage is left, why she was sick. She'll never complain that she's had all those surgeries. You never hear that. You never see articles about her like everybody else. She does not complain. And she does not explain. And people love her. Try that. Try that. Works every time across the board. So this mental world that we're living in, it means that we're living inside of our head. And what's going on inside of our head is what is going to manifest on the outside of life. So if you want to change your life, the motto or the slogan in religious science is, change your mind, change your life. And it sounds so easy and so simple. But you have to implant in you a new mental equivalent. And that mental equivalent has to be that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. So with that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay!
Yay.
Woohoo!
Absolutely important to remember that. Absolutely. Your whole life depends on that. So anything else that's going on in your life, give it up and work on those four items. Work on those four items and the rest will fall into place. The rest will fall into place. You've worked and heard the little saying, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be added unto you. You get these four things down and all else will be added on to you. What you are looking for will come to you. What you are treating for will come to you. Your mind wants to tell you that you have to do other things. Don't listen to your mind. I don't know if your mind. Work on these. Make your mind mirror these back to you. We are always convincing our mind, and we have to convince our mind that this is absolutely true. And it is absolutely true. And I think it's always so funny that somebody, and most of us, if somebody says something bad about us or derogatory about us, we are immediately ready to accept that. But if I say you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, you go, oh, I don't know, I have to think about that. I have to think about that. But if I say I think you're an awful individual, you go, oh, yeah, sorry, that's right, I am. Why? Why do you do that? Don't do that to yourself, people. Listen to what's going on up here. Listen to what's going on. And you'll find a complete difference in your life, in yourself. Wouldn't it be nice to always like yourself? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. And it's possible. It is absolutely possible. And it's absolutely reasonable, isn't it, to like yourself? So, use these things, and you'll find all the difference in the world. Yes, true. Yes.
Dallas, I wanted to relay something to you that happened on Monday with Christopher. He was in the car with me, and of course Dallas is playing 90% of the time in the car.
I think you're a stalker, maybe.
And yeah, I own stock in Dallas, right? And Dallas was talking on the CD. He was talking of something. It said, "What's the most important thing we do when we do a treatment?" He said, "Okay, I'll tell you. The most important thing is, and I let that be so." And then Christopher said, "No, the most important thing is loving yourself." And then I stopped the CD and I said, "Well, thank you, Christopher." And then I, you know, started playing it again. Different topic, same CD. Dallas is talking about, if it is to be, it is up to me. So I stopped the CD and I asked Christopher, "Hey, Christopher, what does that mean?" And he said, "I don't know." And I said, "Okay, if you were someone who knew what that meant, what would you say?" I asked him to write it down. He wrote, "If it happens, it will be up to me."
Yes, absolutely. Does everyone understand when I say, and I let that be so?
And so it is.
And so it is. But I let that be so.
We're opening up and allowing.
You're allowing it.
To
you're giving it permission. You're also not negating it in any way. I let it be so. Because most people do it and then they let their mind pick it apart. No. I let that be so. And I don't pick at it after that. But you're the one who has the power. You're the one who's doing it. I let that be so. And so it is. Because you have to know your own power. You have to know your own power in these things. So, race mind. Does anyone have a race mind alert? Has anyone seen anything out there in the world?
I don't.
Good.
Okay, race mind alert. This one came up today. I'll call this turning the tables. Race mind seems to like to always turn the table on something if you bring about something as educational or maybe even just a factoid that you came up with. This guy I was talking to, he owns a house. He owns actually four houses out in Victorville. And we're working on doing some short sales with buying his properties. And he called me today and told me what the bank said and what we need to send and all this other stuff. And he's telling me about this one house that somebody just moved out of. It's in Victorville. He said, "Oh, this house, we just finished it. It's all nice. We just kicked the tenants out 2 weeks ago because they were, you know, not paying the rent, whatever. We finally got them out." He looks beautiful. He goes, "Thomas, you should come out here and drive out here and see it." I go, "Kirk, I have no interest in getting in my car to drive out to Victorville unless it was go out there to ride motorcycles." And he said, "Well, come out with me. You know, we can go ride motorcycles. You can come and look at the house." And I go, "Kirk, I don't think so. And I started talking about, I don't know how we got onto this topic, but I started talking about the universe, kind of talking about the secret, the law of attraction, etc. And it was mostly because he was lowering his expectations with the bank, and I told him, Kirk, we need to raise our expectations, okay? Raise our expectations. People are too conditioned to lower their expectations. We talked a little bit about that, and then at the end of the whole thing, when he told me come out and ride motorcycles, I go, Kirk, I don't have a motorcycle right now. I'm currently in the market to buy one, and you know, I'm test riding them and doing all this other stuff. So at the end of that whole conversation, he did what I called turning the table. He goes, hey, Thomas, why don't you just ask the universe for a motorcycle and you can have one tomorrow? I go, hey, Kirk, that's really nice. You know what? I already did that. I'm already moving and I took the first step. I'm taking a class with my son on June 3rd, learning how to ride dirt bikes, etc., etc. And I just stopped it right there. I didn't, you know, I wasn't going to sit there and grind this guy out. But I saw as soon as he threw that out there, hey, Thomas, why don't you, Mr. Smart Boy, ask the universe for your motorcycle? I told him, yeah, I already did. I already took the first step and I moved forward. I didn't sit there and, you know, grind him out and tell him that he didn't know what he was talking about. But I already knew that I did that because I actually had already taken steps to that. So when the people in Raised Mind come out and like to turn the tables on anything, right? It doesn't have to be just what we're learning here. It could be anything. It's easier for us to realize what they did and not let it continue in our own mind. And I don't have to fight with the guy because it doesn't matter.
Ah, good.
I stopped. I said, hey, Kirk, let's go back to the talking about the bank and this and stuff, and then I'll call you tomorrow. You talk to the bank, and then we hung up.
Now, we're never here to convince anybody of anything. We talk, we know this, but we're not here to fight. Let other people be gang saved on the porch or whatever. We don't do that type of work. And there's no necessity for that type of work to go on. People think what they want to think. And when they can't prove anything, they always say, okay, smarty pants, tell God to give it to you now. Tell the universe to give it to you now. Because they think, okay, that can't be done. So that means that this whole teaching is down the tubes. This whole teaching is not down the tubes just because of that. And I'll get into that in one moment. But I'm going to tell you two race things that happened this week. In fact, just yesterday. Yesterday I had a telephone call from a new client. She wanted to know where I lived and how to get there and da-da-da-da-da. So I told her and she said, well, what appointment do you have? And I forget what I said. She said, oh, I couldn't make that. She said, you know, with the L.A. traffic, it's just horrible. And I live in Sherman Oaks until I did this, until I did that. The traffic just would not allow me to do that. The traffic will not allow me to do that. She's giving traffic power. And if you give traffic power, it has power. Mm-hmm. Don't give your power to traffic. Last night I had a man at the house, and he was leaving, and he wanted to go down to Santa Monica and something. I said, well, just go right out here and turn on Cahuenga and go right down to Santa Monica. He said, oh, I couldn't do that. He said, that's a left-hand turn. He said, you can't make a left-hand turn at this hour from that street. He said, that would just be impossible. I said, I do it all the time. I said, I have no problem with making that left-hand turn. People think that making a left-hand turn onto a busy street, they'll go all over the world not to make a left-hand turn. I go right out, and sometimes I have to wait maybe a second or so. Then I say traffic, separate, and I go across all those lanes of traffic and right to my lane that I want. Because I don't give that any power. But you see, he had already started before he even got to the intersection to make that. He'd already made up his mind that it was going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. He'd already made up his mind. And the universe says, yes, then it's going to be difficult and traffic's just going to keep coming and coming. And it keeps coming for him. These are race mind. This is total race mind. And this is when you can prove that this teaching works. And if you can prove that you can do this with traffic, you can do this with anything. It's like the parking space.
Race mind on the political scene this week. was when Jimmy Carter, I guess, finally just had it and said that George Bush is the worst president in history, including Richard Nixon.
Oh, who said this?
Jimmy Carter.
Oh, good.
And he's very outspoken, but very, you know, he's kind about it. He's not a mean man. And so the White House countered back with, well, his presidency was irrelevant because, see, he was a president for peace, and he accomplished the peace talks. And the race mind of war certainly sees a person like him and what he did as irrelevant.
Yes.
Because yes. He was for something, not against something.
Absolutely.
So.
Yes. I wanted to bring up something that came a minute ago with one of the, either Thomas or somebody, but it's about making your demonstration and doing your treatment. And at the bottom, when I say, and I let that be so, and so it is, most times why people cannot demonstrate, we say it's already done in mind, that your motorcycle is already done in mind, that it's already there for you. But we do a treatment, and it's already there, it's already done for us. Why don't we see that? Because we're always living in the past. And it doesn't happen in the past.
You mean, why don't we see the physical object?
Yes. You can't see the physical object because you make that, you do your treatment work. And as we say, I let that be so and so it is, and we know that in mind that it is already done. But then, as soon as the treatment is over, our mind goes to the past.
Well, it does if you don't train it.
You have to train it always to stay in the now. As soon as you train it to stay in the now, the demonstration is there. But we immediately start to think of the past and what happened back then and what this is and what that is and data, this didn't happen, yada, yada, yada. You have to stay in the present. And you have to stay in the present. As soon as you can stay in the present, your demonstration is there. That's why we know that it's already done in mind. Does that make sense to you? So watch your mind when you do something. Don't go back. You never have to hash over yesterday or anything. That is gone. That is an illusion, and it's completely gone. There is not one thing that you can do about that. Not one thing that you can do about that. But since you live in a mental world, you can bring your mind into the now, and you can think new thoughts right here and right now. And when your mind wants to take you back to the old thought, you tell your mind, no, I want a new thought. This is a new moment. This is a new now, and I want something new. And your mind will start doing that for you. Your mind will start doing that for you. Okay? Let's do a spiritual mind treatment. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly one with the only power in the universe, and that power is a power for good. I was made from that power, therefore I am connected to that power. And I am entitled to what that power has. I am entitled to the kingdom. And that kingdom includes prosperity, abundance, money, health, relationships, and creative self-expression. And I claim every one of those for myself right here and right now. And I let that be so, and so it is. Give it to them. Tonight's topic is feelings. I have said many times and talked many times about one of the greatest gifts that we have in our toolbox. Does anyone remember what the greatest gift is?
Imagination.
Imagination is the greatest gift. Now, I'm going to add to that so that you'll be able not only to use your imagination, and not only to be able to
envision what you want. I'm now going to tell you how to empower that envision so that it will manifest, take clothes, and dwell among you. With your imagination, you must have a feeling. You must have a feeling. Otherwise, imagination stays in the daydream realm. But when you have an imagination and you can envision something and you can put a feeling or emotion connected with that, that is what brings the imagination into life. That's what gives it life, so that it is here, present with you. So use this power of imagination or visualization, whatever you want to call it. About 30-some years ago, I read Shakti Gawande's book on visualization. Still on the market today, still selling. And if you're not sure how to use your imagination, get that book and teach yourself how to use your imagination. We used to use our imagination when we were children all the time. And then it's taken away. Slowly it erodes from us because of the outside world who tells you that is not practical, who tells you that is not reasonable. And now we know that everything that has ever come in to this plane of action from a human being came because of their imagination. Came because of their imagination. And everything that comes into your life because you start to imagine it. You start to imagine it. And if things aren't coming into your life, it's because you're not using your imagination. You're just letting life go by. You're just letting life go by. You can get away with that. But when you know that you have this great tool, why not use it? And now that you know that you can put a feeling and an emotion behind that and really rev that imagination up so that it does manifest on this plane of action, and it will do it every time.
Okay, Reverend Shelley talked about that last night. I said the same words. So now...
See that?
I'm hearing it for the second time in 2 days, and that is a bit of a challenge for me. So can you use an example of something that you have manifested, but with explaining the feeling? What was the feeling you had?
Oh, okay. I can do that, yes. Now, first of all, let me make a little comment. Because I always think that this is absolutely wonderful. How many times have you heard me say, we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God? And that there's only one mind, and that's the mind of God. So last night she heard that same thing from a different person. You see, that information is available to me, it's available to her, and it's available to all of you people, because there's only that one mind to pull from. How many times have you read a book and then the next person tells you about that or tells you something about that? Because it's all, this whole thing is going on all at once. Here is what we mean by the interconnection of things, that everything is connected, that everything is connected. But we do have this unity going on all the time. And that when you're seeking something, it is seeking you. So, you're interested in this, so now you hear it twice. And you will hear it more and more, because now it's in there. Now, how do I manifest something that I really want? When I bought my little condominium, it wasn't a done deal, of course. You know how real estate is. So during that time when they're searching and trying to put the deal together, and somebody else is trying to tear the deal apart and all, every day I went by the place and I looked in the window. And I saw myself in there. And I arranged all the furniture in there. And I went at different times of the day to see what the light would be like in there. And then I would see how I felt about that. Oh, look, I like that. Oh, look. What does this mean to me? Oh, it means my home. Ah, where there's safety, where there's love, where there's serenity. Oh, I can make this an absolutely beautiful place. I can make this a temple. I can make this my home. And then I get excited about that. And I get excited about that. And it went through. Now, why is that so important that that went through? And I'm going to tell you. Because on my real estate agent, who happened to be a client of mine, said to me, Dallas, you should buy something. I said, fine, find it for me, and I will buy it, and here's what I want. He took me to several places. I said, no, I don't want those, I can tell you right now. And so I said, don't show me anything like that. Here's my criterion. Here's what I want. Okay. So one night he said to me, come on, you have to see this place. Well, it was at nighttime. There were no lights on and all. I said, well, I'll come back in the day. And I looked through the windows, and I said, yes, I want this place. Well, it was already under contract, and the contract had fallen through. Well, it had kept falling through, I don't know how many times, from other people, not for me, because the real estate agent who was selling it, not mine, didn't have enough knowledge to go back in the records. So every time he looked it up, and every time the mortgage company would look it up, it would come up a co-op. So they would immediately deny the loans. Mm-hmm. So it just kept falling out of escrow, falling out of escrow, falling out of escrow. Well, we knew that it was a condominium. All you had to do was find the right papers. He found the right papers. But why was that mine and not somebody else's? You see, did they go over every night and look in? Did they pass by that all the time? I drove by it every day and looked in and kept seeing myself in there. Now, the other marvelous thing was, I bought that, I think, 8 years ago, and I bought it for $96,000.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, yeah. You want to hear the next thing? He said to me, how much do you want to put down? I said, $2,000. He said, oh, Dallas, you have to put down more than $2,000. I said, no, I want to put down $2,000. And I said, now here's the next thing. You may not look at my income. You may not see my tax statements. He said, oh, Dallas. I said, it can be done. You do it. And it was done. Because if you looked at my tax statements, I couldn't buy a roller skate. I knew. I was in the real estate business. I knew what was going on. And he was able to do this without using my Social Security number. Without using my Social Security number. Now, did somebody cheat? Did somebody do something? I have no idea. I'm saying that the universe arranged that for me. The universe arranged that for me. And I said, thank you very much. I'm absolutely pleased with everything, and I don't have a complaint. And I got it.
So now it's worth 8 times more than you paid for it.
Now it's worth $470,000. Nice little investment. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. Nice investment. Yes. One more. Go ahead. I told this story before when I got that horrendous ticket for $340 for going through that light that they took the camera picture of. And I went to them, I was going to fight it, and everyone said, oh, tell them the timer was off. Well, 30 other people in front of me kept saying the timer was off. The judge said, don't pay anyway. Then they said, oh, the policeman will never show up. A special policeman shows up who just does nothing but that. So he was there, this was there. So all these people, and I went, well, I'm a cooked goose. But I had said to myself, I will never go through another red light. I will be very careful. I do not want to pay this. And whatever else I said. So, finally, all these people cleared the courtroom. And I'm sitting there, and the judge says to me,
what are you here for? I said, the same thing those other people were here for. He said to the clerk, where's his paperwork? But there's no put it on a, they have a dumb waiter. It was a dumb waiter. Went down, another dumb waiter came up, then went through all that, couldn't find it. He said, well, we can't find the papers. Case dismissed. You see? Does this help you? You have to have a feeling. I had a feeling that I wasn't paying that ticket.
Yeah.
But I also wasn't trying to get away with something. You know. I wasn't trying to say, oh, well, now, you know. No. I said, I went through the red light. But I will not pay that money. And I've learned my lesson. And I didn't pay it.
In situations like that, when you have a dream, you truly have to believe that there are things that you don't know of that are going to happen for you,
yes,
because you so much believe,
yes,
in it.
Yes, yes.
And explaining your desires to other people that are not on that level closes it down.
Yes. Never tell anybody, unless they're of like mind, what you're up to and what you want to manifest, because they will take it away from you. Because you can't have that mixed energy going on, and as soon as they start to doubt, they give that to you and you start to doubt. So you cannot do that. When you're making any kind of a demonstration, when you want to make any kind of a demonstration, what I do is I see the universe, and I see that there, it's nothing but cogs and wheels and so forth. And all these cogs and wheels have to come in to exactly the right place for my demonstration to take place. Why is that, that they have to do that? Because the universe has to make sure that it's the best for all those concerned. The best. Remember, we're so interconnected. Remember the idea, if I walk from here across the room, gravity has to make an adjustment for that. If the butterfly flaps its wings, the wind picks up somewhere else. We're so interconnected. So when we do, when we are trying to make a demonstration, the universe has to make sure that it's the, for the best of all those concerned. Otherwise, we would have chaos and havoc all the time, you see. So I never get discouraged if it takes a little bit longer. I know it's going to be there. And I also know when it gets there, it's going to be even better than I could think about. Than I could think about. You see, it's always going to be better. And that's what you have to know.
When you add to it, this house is seeking me as I am seeking it.
Yes.
If for whatever reason you wouldn't have gotten that condo, you know that something better,
yes,
is seeking you.
Yes, absolutely.
But that you weren't aware of.
That I wasn't aware of. But with all the things that we looked at that were so high priced and were so much smaller and didn't have the beautiful big swimming pool, didn't have a piece of, you know, have a little garden plot and everything else. I mean, and that land that the condo on is a big piece of property. You know, we have all that parking and we have tons of things that the other ones did not have. So with all the ones that I saw and all the things that were available, this certainly, even at that time, in my neighborhood, or in the neighborhood then, which I had no idea, the neighborhood I live in is called the Hollywood Dell. I never heard of the Hollywood Dell, but I did read recently where it's one of the 10 best places to live in Los Angeles. You see how see how the universe can take care of you?
So, what's the difference in wondering if it's for your greater good or you putting in negative energy to sculpture, really? Because I've had a lot of the energy around this real estate. And I put some deals together. I actually put a deal together that wasn't even on the market, that I knew about it. I put it together. I sold it. I got down to the contingency day at $1.5 million, and my clients backed out. Well, I know it has to be for the greater good, but I had to take a deep swallow because that was a lot of financial income for me.
Yes.
And then I had another client that, you know, was in multiple. And then I had this one I've been showing for 2 months, and he decides that, oh, I found this lease on my own, and so thank you so much for your help. But, and I'm like, whoa. It's like all this stuff is, and I'm right there, and I'm putting all my energy in it, and I'm thinking, is this me? Or is it, what is it? Is it for the greater good? Something else is coming? Or it's hard to figure out.
Okay, I'm going to help you with that. It's always going to be for your greater good and for the greater good of all those concerned. Now, we're just going to use the real estate business as an example, and we're going to ask Jim a question here. Jim, in the years that you've been in the real estate business, when you try to force a deal to happen, when you try to piece something together, it usually falls apart. You cannot...
Yeah, and even if it does stay together, it becomes an absolute hellish nightmare.
Yes. See, as soon as you know that you're forcing something, back away from it. Back away from it. Because you were forcing something to happen because you got fearful and you saw your commission at 105. You see, you saw that commission and you said, oh, I'm going to make this work because I need that money and this. Yes. Now, there's nothing wrong with that and I'm not putting you down. I'm saying withdraw your energy from that and know that only the right and perfect people come to you, you see, and that you always put God's energy into everything, not your energy into things. And then the deal will work for itself, you see. And I don't know if, I worked with real estate people, and here's one of the mistakes that they made. In fact, just recently was working with a young man that's in the real estate business in Chicago. And here is the thing that most real estate people, when they're starting, do not grasp. Don't take out unqualified buyers. Don't run people all over Hell's Half Acre because it's just spinning your wheels. It's absolutely doing nothing. But in your mind, it's saying, oh, I put in a hard day. I ran here, I ran there, I did all this. But you didn't accomplish anything. So, before you ever take anybody out, be very hard-nosed. Say, we have to qualify you. Are you absolutely interested in this? And you have to be absolutely loyal to me. There is no backdoor things going on here. There are no, I'm settling for a lease. I'm finding something on my own. Because I cannot waste my valuable time doing that. And if I do, and you do, I'm going to have to charge you. You have to be. Am I not right, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. And it's getting to the truth. You need to get to the truth.
And what's race mind thought about that, though, in real estate?
Well, race mind said, or at least real estate race mind says, you hang on to it. But see, in reality, what Dallas is saying is you find out it is so much better to know you don't have any business than to think you do when you don't.
Yes.
And it is very easy to not have business and be very busy.
Right. And I watch real estate people do that all the time, and they think they're just spinning their wheels. They're just spinning their wheels.
And then 2 months of spending all that time.
Yes. And now it's down the tubes. So then you have that much invested. So the disappointment then is even greater that you have, you see. Mm-hmm. So, but you'll learn how to do that. Now, do not give up for the $1.5 million. Know that you're able to do that. It just wasn't with this person, and it just wasn't with this property. So, you say, I learned a great deal from this. And you learned a great deal from that.
Yeah, and I did say that all the way through. But when you brought up, and I keep going to, and Reeve and I talk about the greater good, you're going to your greater good. Sometimes I'm like, greater good. Okay, I got to do something.
I want my greater good now.
Right. Yeah. Yes, that's a difficult one, but you have to know, oh, well, my greater good. See, if I wouldn't have gotten this condominium, I wouldn't have gotten upset.
Right.
I would have known that something even better was in store for me. In fact, there was one in Los Feliz that I really liked. It was much bigger, but it had no swimming pool. And it had no hardwood floors. It had carpeted floors. And I said to the real estate agent, do you see what's missing in the kitchen?
He said, no, everything's here. I said, look again. They had taken out the wall oven and made it a cupboard. There was no oven in the place whatsoever. Just a surface, just a top of stovetop. No oven. That one fell through. I couldn't get that one. This one was better. And it's still, and it's amazing. So you have to know that. You have to have enough faith in this thing we call the universe or God to realize that God is not going to let you down. And also to say to yourself, I'm using my energy here. I'm trying to force something. I am going to surrender, release, relax, let go. And I'm going to let God come in and do this for me. And do this for me. Then all the anxiety is taken out of it. All the anxiety is taken out of it. And your responsibility is taken out of it. So you just have to know that you are a success. Do you get up every morning and say, I am a successful real estate agent?
No.
Get up every morning and say, I am a successful real estate agent. Anyone that's doing anything, I'm a successful salesman, I'm a successful actor, I'm a success. All day long in the car, I say to myself, I'm successful, I'm successful, I'm successful. I think success all the time. You have to think success all the time. I'm going to tell you something cute, and I love this one. It makes absolute sense to me. It's a Chinese proverb. If you can pour a cup of tea correctly, you can do anything. You see what that means? If you can put that much attention and that much love and that much care into a cup of tea, then you can do anything, because that's how you get success, with love, attention, focus, and caring. And as soon as you have those qualities and you can pour a cup of tea, then everything else that you do has to have those same qualities behind it. You see, you start at the wrong place, people. You want to do something big up here. Accomplish something small. Learn one small thing and then the big thing. Why is that?
Because it's all the same.
It's all the same because God doesn't know the difference between big and small.
We do.
You do. So you say, I can pour a cup of tea, but I can't do that. But your mind says, oh, let's be a big success up here. Well, if you don't, if you're not a success down here, you can't be a success up there. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So learn to pour a cup of tea correctly. Learn it. I have friends, and I have one particular friend who I've known for years. And she just rushes through life. You know, you want a sandwich? Slap! So, you know. Well, I don't know. I'd like a plate and a few other. There's. Yeah, a little bit of parsley. I mean, do something nice. Reeve often eats with me. Don't I always make it look nice? I take the time and attention to make it look nice. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because she says to me, well, you know, I just can't understand. My life just doesn't seem to be working. This doesn't say, no, not what you want a sandwich. Slap. You have to start with the small things, and then your big things just are the same because God doesn't know the difference. But you have to train yourself in the small things, in doing those things well. You see, there's no such thing as a menial job. Get that out of your head, that there's something as a menial job. I had a friend, I'll tell a story about it. said he was helping somebody deliver stuff. And he said, now talk about a mental world. I got to thinking, there I was in my baseball cap running all over town delivering. And he said, here I am with an MBA. What would people think if they saw me? What if my other people, my clients over, saw me delivering? I didn't say a word to him. Fortunately, it was over the telephone or I'd have slapped him. There's no such thing as a menial job. If you learn to do something well, it adds. You know, it adds to something. About 40 years ago, I worked for Northeast Hobby Distributing Company, and I had 49 J.J. Newberry stores, and I sold hobbies to them and other hobby shops. And a place in Syracuse called Guth's. Mr. and Mrs. Guth had a terrific hobby shop. And she told this story about her employees. She said she couldn't get the young girls at nighttime to sweep the store because that was a menial job for them. They did not want to do that. And she said to them, imagine you're sweeping up diamonds instead of dirt. And do make yourself do the menial things and do them well. If you can do them well, the rest of your life falls into place. It falls into place. Yes. Learn to pour a cup of tea correctly and you can do everything else. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.